Rabbi Isai, Rabbi Arya Leibowitz is the director of Smicha at Reitz, as well as the Mor Da'asra Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere. He's Mechaber Svarim, and he gives many, many shiurim, and you can hear him on headlines also very often. And his new sefer is available in the back afterwards.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you so much, Rishus HaRav. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for coming to learn together this morning on a day that that I guess most people are off from work, so it's always a wonderful opportunity to be able to learn together, to learn Torah. You know, most of the time, I remember I once had when I was an assistant rabbi in a shul in Lawrence, in Shari Tfila, we once had a guest speaker on a holiday weekend. A very chashva Rosh Yeshiva of Shmuel Birnbaum, Zichrono Livracha, had come, and is your say tomorrow? Wow, okay. And I remember his opening line. He said that Lachramei Vesrim, a person's going to go up and they're going to say, well, why weren't you learning all the time? And he's going to say, because I had to work. And it's true, you had to work, you have to make a living, you have a lot of things to do. And then they're going to say, and what about on the holidays? What about the legal holidays when you didn't have to work? So where were you then? Were you, so Birnbaum was the Masmid Hadar. I think everyone that was widely recognized as one of the great Masmidim. So it was such a who Haya Omer kind of a message, you know, that was like speaking from his very essence, that ultimately, if a person takes the time when we're off from work to be able to learn together, so then it's a reasonable excuse to say that, yeah, of course I want to be learning. When I'm able to learn, I learn. But if a person, even when they're able to learn, is not learning, so then it's not going to be, then it's megala about all the other times that we're not able to learn, that really we weren't so interested anyway. So this should be a gevaldik zechus that on a time that we're off from work, that we get together to learn together. So the topic that I was asked to speak about is a topic that really, honestly, I've never been in the business world. I don't have any shaychus really to the business world, and I imagined it's not really so relevant anymore. The topic of holiday parties and office get-togethers and gatherings. But someone told me just before that attack is relevant. That it came back. That I assume no one went back to the office. No one talks to anybody anymore. They just sit on a computer and they do their work, whatever jobs they do. But apparently, although the office hasn't come back, the office party has come back, which is like a little bit shocking to me. So we were asked to speak a little bit about that inyan, whether one is allowed to participate in an office party, what the limits are. I want to talk a little bit about some other things also, because it's not only the inyan of the office party. What most commonly, maybe the Rav could say, one of the more common questions I get is that someone was gifted a bottle of wine. So you're gifted a bottle of wine. What are you going to do with it? It's not kosher wine. They don't give you kosher wine. So they gift you a bottle of wine. So you want to know, okay, how much do they like me? So you Google it to see how expensive it is. But whatever. So they gift you a bottle. So what are you going to do with it? You re-gift it. But are you allowed to re-gift a bottle of non-kosher wine? That comes up very frequently. Also, probably the most common issue that comes up is people are constantly wishing you happy holidays or merry whatever. They're constantly wishing you, you know, some people are so clueless. They see the yarmulke, they see the, and they'll wish you merry, you know, and they don't realize that maybe you don't celebrate all the Christian holidays, and it's possible that maybe you celebrate different holidays. And even when they say happy holidays at this time of year, Hanukkah was a month ago. What do you what happy holidays? I don't have any holidays right now. So even the very notion of being goreis a secular date and using secular dates is its own topic that's not as pashut as one might think. But so these are like the broad array of issues, the range of issues that come up this time of year, and there are many, many more as well. Now, typically when I give shiurim in different places, I always like to ask like three different shilas and like let the audience choose which one they want to talk about, because I always feel that if I speak about something and people aren't happy with the topic, so it's my fault. But if I make everybody else choose the topic and they're not happy with the topic, it's your fault. It's not my fault. So let's just say, of these three topics, which one should we start with? I don't know how many we'll get to, if we'll get to all of them, but of these three topics, again, choice number one, holiday parties, choice number two, gifting wine, and choice number three, holiday greetings. So which one would we like to talk about? So let's do by a show of hands. All those who prefer choice number one, which is holiday parties. Okay, choice number two, what was the choice number two again? I forgot.
Wine,
re-gifting wine. What was the one, re-gifting wine? And choice number three, holiday greetings. Oh, looks like holiday, okay, it's pretty even actually. Okay, so we'll So let's do greetings. There is a Gemara Maseches Gittin Daf Samach Beis. It's Paskin Shulchan Aruch in Yerideas and Mekuv Mem Chesiv Tes. Lo Yikani Sadon the Beis Shlovi Chavim Biyom Chago V'Yitin Lo Shalom. You shouldn't go into a Beis Shlovi Chavim on the day of his Chag and give him Shalom. It's all B'Shuk Nosno B'Safar Rafa B'Kovid Rosh. But if you find him out in the Shuk, you see him out in the market, so you greet him in a very understated way. So the Shach over there in Sivkat and Zion says that Kosov Bedek Abayis Dafka Shalom Shushmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Dafka when it comes to Shalom, which is one of the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval Bracha to like a shame like a kpeda, that if you're just saying you're just giving a greeting, you're allowed to give a greeting. So just the very essence, the very idea of giving a greeting, if you stay away from shame Hashem, so that would be permissible. The question is, what should be the content of that greeting? What do you say? So it's interesting, because if you give any sort of greeting, what you're very likely to receive in return is not the greeting that you gave. Meaning, Mariv Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita often says that, he says, it's probably mutter to say Christmas. You're probably allowed to say that word. But, it's meals. You know, for a Jew, Jews don't realize the history of that day. A lot of times we think, oh, it means like there are beautiful lights and, there's this jolly man in a red suit that gives gifts to children or whatever. And, it's nice and it's just something that they do. We don't realize the history of that day and how much anti-Semitism, how many pogroms and how many Jews died, how much blood spilled because of that day. Can you imagine, like in a couple of hundred years from now, someone were to our Einikluch would walk around and say, happy Holocaust Day or something like that. I mean, that's what this is. It's something that we shouldn't be comfortable with at all, even leaving aside theological, religious things like that, just in terms of the history of what it means to the Jewish people. So Rav Shechter always says, if you want to, you're going to greet someone, you have to greet someone and say season's greetings, which I don't know, outside of a Hallmark card, I don't think I've ever actually heard that term used, season's greetings. Who says it? And even if you say season's greetings, what are they going to say back to you? They may say, Merry Kratzbach. They may say whatever. They could say anything back to you. So there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Samach Gimel and Beis, where the Gemara says, Lo Yishama al Pichosh, Lo Yidor B'Shmov, Lo Yikayim B'Shmov, that you shouldn't even cause other people to say certain shemos. That not only that, the Gemara goes on to say that you're not even allowed to use a Beis Avodah Zarah as a landmark, meaning you're not allowed to have any association that you want to say, meet me at a certain place, and there happens to be a big church right at that intersection, so you're not allowed to say, meet me on the side of the intersection where the church is, meet me next to, or block past the church, or something like that. Actually, this Shaila landed me once in Ami magazine, my 15 minutes of fame. There was a feature on, let me give you the background. A Talmud of mine asked me a Shaila. I had forgotten who asked the Shaila. The fellow just came over to me recently and said, I'm the one that asked the Shaila. So the Shaila was, he was going to a funeral of like a great aunt or a great uncle or something, and it was in some tiny little Beis Olam somewhere in Connecticut or something. And it was such a tiny cemetery that it didn't have an address. But it was right across the street from a Buddhist temple. So he asked his family, how do I get there? He said, put into Waze the Buddhist temple, and then, you'll see it right there. It'll be right across the street from the Buddhist temple. So he thought of this Gemara. He said, you're not allowed to say, meet me b'tzad avodah zarah ploni. So you're allowed to put into Waze in order to be able to find. So at the time, I used to send a lot of shailas to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, because he was very good at sending tshuvas, and usually if you got an unusual unusual, a weird, you know, something that was a maisa, that was a story. So he's very into that. I don't know if you ever read Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein's Svarim, but like he's very into those funny shaylas because it's very engaging. If you ever meet him, you know, as gishmak as those Svarim are, you meet him in person, it's even more gishmak. Like he's like the most lichtige yid you'll ever meet. But so I used to send him all these shaylas, when they came up. So I figured he would enjoy the shayla, and I was right because Ami magazine did a feature on Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and they asked him in the interview. They said, "Have you gotten any interesting shaylas recently?" And he said, "Yes, Rabbi Leibowitz from America." He quoted me. Rabbi Leibowitz from America asked me in Shaila about using ways to say a Beis Avot Zarah in order to be able to find a cemetery. So I prefer Chief Rabbi of America, but I'll go with Rabbi Leibowitz from America. So this is a Gemara that you're not supposed to be maskir Shem Avot Zarah. You're not supposed to cause the Shem Avot Zarah to even be mentioned. So the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim tells us that you're not supposed to mention the name of any other gods, and the Mechilta understands that it's dafka though when you're praising the deity, when you're praising the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara understands, like we said, to include even if you're using a name of praise, but you're saying meet me next to a particular Avodah Zarah. The Gemara then says you're not even allowed to refer to a city named for an Avodah Zarah unless the particular Avodah Zarah is mentioned in the Torah, which is also fascinating, that an Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah, that you are allowed to say the shame of the Avodah Zarah. Why is that? Why are you allowed to say the shame of an Avodah Zarah if it's mentioned in the Torah? So a Pashut Svara is that we have a Chiyuv Daraisa to learn Torah. So how could you skip words in the Torah? You have to say the words in the Torah. But why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in the Torah? So it could be that all the names of Avodah Zarah that are mentioned in the in Tanakh are all real mocking names of Avodah Zarah. They're not the actual shame of the Avodah Zarah. Meaning, they're all, like some of the Achronim say, that Yeshu HaNotzri, that we, it's not in the Torah, but when we refer to Yeshu HaNotzri, it's really, it doesn't mean Yeshu of Nazareth, it means that his notes are from Ish and Isha just like anybody else. Meaning that it's a way of making a mock of their whole belief system, of the whole belief. So a lot of times when you have shemos that of Avodah Zarah, it could be that the whole shame is a mockery. And the Gemara says, "Kol leitzinusa asura, chutz mi leitzinusa d'Avodah Zarah." That leitzanus in general is not a good midah, but leitzanus of Avodah Zarah is what you're supposed to do. I remember as a child in grade school, in whatever third, fourth, fifth grade, I remember my rebbein used to refer to Yeshua Notzri as cheese and crackers. No, anyone else have that? You don't remember that? So, and the holiday of December 25th was Pratzmach, right? Meaning all of these mockeries of Avodah Zarah. So as a child, I thought, how immature. Like, why can't you just call it what it is? Till you learn the Gemara. And the Gemara says that your taka is supposed to do that. Obviously, you have to be careful about the company that you're in when you do that. But a late sonus of Avodah Zarah is an acceptable thing. Now, the Gemara says both mentioning, as we said before, and causing others to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah is asur by the Torah, is asur min haTorah, and the extent to which the example reflects on the parameters of the halacha is somewhat subject to machlokas. The Rush writes that there are those who believe that the isser is limited to cases that you're utilizing the name of Avodah Zarah for a purpose, like by the case of the landmark, meet me next to this person, but just mentioning the name of the Avodah Zarah for no constructive purpose maybe is not usher. Meaning the understanding is that the problem with mentioning the name is utilizing the Avodah Zarah for your own benefit. But absent any practical benefit that you're going to get from the Avodah Zarah, it would not be a problem. But the Rush quotes that as Yesh Omrim, but then he disagrees. And he says, no, you're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah in any context. The fact that the Gemara's specific example relates to mentioning the name for a reason, that's a reflection of the Gemara's effort to speak of the the most commonly occurring cases, but it shouldn't be understood as a limitation to the rule in any way. So the Torah in Yerodeh and Kuf Mem Zayin writes that a person can't mention the name of Avodah Zarah even when there's no tzorich to do so whatsoever, even when there's no benefit whatsoever. Meaning, it's more obviously prohibited to recite the name for a purpose than to recite it without a purpose, but they're both going to be usher. Beis Yosef wonders what the logic is, because it would seem that mentioning it for no reason at all would be more severe. That mentioning for no reason at all should be worse, says the Beis Yosef. Because why are you doing it? I mean, you're just stam enjoy mentioning of a desire? Like, why would you do that? So the Beis Yosef doesn't understand why it would go in that direction. But this is the Isser. So then the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh, Kuf Mem Zayin, Sefalev, Shulchan Aruch Paskin, say, you're not allowed to mention the name of a desire, whether there is or isn't a reason to do so. And even causing somebody else to mention the name of Avodah Zarah is a problem. That's why Maram Shik in Etshuva, Maram Shik was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer in Etshuva, in Yerodeh, Kufayin Aleph, says that it would be also to say something that would cause one to even think about an Avodah Zarah. So this was a big thing among the Talmud of Chassam Sofer, that the Maram Shik thought that to say a secular date will cause someone to think of an Avodah Zarah, because what are you going to say? It's the year 2000, it's about to be 22, right? So what, you're going to say that number, and someone's going to say, 2022 since what? 2022 years since what? So that's going to cause them to think of an Avodah Zarah. So maybe that, even that is going to be a problem. However, the possible heter over here is that the Yerayim writes that there's a distinction between those Avodah Zarahs that are mentioned in the Torah and those that are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah in the following sense. The issue to say the name of an Avodah Zarah is not to say any name of an Avodah Zarah as like an identifying feature. The issue is to say a name of an Avodah Zarah that ascribes greatness to the Avodah Zarah. But if it doesn't, if the name is not a complementary name, it doesn't say anything about, you know, something that's laudable about the Avodah Zarah, or anything that a person would be impressed with about the Avodah Zarah, then it would not be an Isser, says the Yerayim. For example, let's say you had an Avodah Zarah named Bob. Okay, Bob is a name, so you can call it Bob. But if the Avodah Zarah's name was Bob, Lord of Builders, right, or something like that, so then you would not be allowed to someone. Okay, I thought it was funny. So then you would not be able to say something like that, because that implies a certain sense of greatness. So Chazal referred to Yeshu. So what's Yeshu? So the Achronim have a fun time trying to figure out whether Yeshu was definitely not his name, right? The Rambam writes in a couple of places his name was Yeshua. Others say his name was Yehoshua, but Yeshu wasn't the name. So some understand Yeshu is a Rashi Tevis of Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. Others understand that it's a Gematria, that Yeshu is Hashem Ishtachim Lehevel Varik, and Varik is Gematria Yeshu, so it relates to that. Other Gematrias that they have, so it's a Dafka, not a name that ascribes greatness to say the name Yeshu, and to say, but to say, the crackers part of cheese and crackers, right, to say that does ascribe greatness. That does say that Ki'ilu he's Mashuach or something like that. So that you wouldn't be allowed to say. The name of the actual holiday, Lechora, is not a Shem Avodah Zarah, but like we said before, it doesn't seem that it's appropriate for a Jew to speak that way, because it should just make us cringe when we say that. So probably a person could figure out a way to finesse around all of these situations. Meaning, you're not usually in a situation where you have to say the name of the holiday, where you have to wish even to wish someone a happy new year is probably not necessary. A person probably does not have to get into that situation where he's going to say it, although Rabbi Rav Willig, I believe, said that saying happy new year is probably mutter anyway, because you're saying happy new tax year. The year doesn't mean anything to you other than for that reason, and the truth is it doesn't mean anything to anybody else other than for that reason either. So it's everything's so secularized anyway, so probably that's okay. But usually, I don't know if season's greetings, but usually there's a way, there's a way around it without having to specifically identify the Avodah Zarah. It's like someone told me Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was once in a hospital or something, and the nurse said Good Friday to him, like wished him a Good Friday, and he said, and Good Friday and Good Saturday and Good Sunday and Good Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and everything to you. So that was the way he finessed around the situation, to be extra nice by saying all of these things, that everything should be good. And the nurse smiled and laughed and whatever, and it was fine, right? Meaning usually there's a way around it. So I think as far as just wishing someone, you know, wishing someone well, especially if it comes, if it's like your, you know, the sanitation worker or the mailman or whatever, if it comes with a little bit of a tip, with a little bit of money, they don't care what it says. They're not interested. It doesn't matter what you say. Are you a taka allowed to give them a gift for around this time of the year? So giving a gift on the holiday itself, directly on the holday itself, the sugis at the beginning of Masech Sefer Dezara, make it a little bit more questionable that they're going to go and be moded to the Avodah Zarah. But Pashtus is that we paskin that if it's around the season, but it's not on the holiday itself, that it would be mutter. Generally speaking, there's an isra in the Torah called Lo Sechanim. The isra of Lo Sechanim is that you're not allowed to get, is three different things. One of them is a very popular discussion this year because it's a Shemitah year. There's that Lo Sitein Lem Chania Bekarka. So Lo Sechanim means three things. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says one is that you're not allowed to give Nachrim the residence in the land of Israel. So Lo Sitein Lem Chania Bekarka. So that's the one of the issues, one of the several issues of Heter Mechira. Can you sell a piece of Eretz Yisrael to a Nachri in order to get around the issue of Shemitah? You know, that's what some of the Achronim say. It's like you're running away from, but you're trying to avoid an issue of Shemitah, but then you're violating the Beferish by selling land in Eretz Yisrael to a Nachri, to a violation of Lo Sechanim. It's like running away from a small non-threatening animal and running right in front of a bear who's going to tear you apart. I mean, you're trying to avoid one Isser, but you're going to get involved in a much bigger Isser. I remember my children when they were young, they still, even now that they're older, are terrified of dogs. This whole COVID thing where everyone buys a dog, I don't know if this is happening in Passaic, in the five towns, it's crazy. Like all of a sudden everyone has a dog because they're bored during COVID. Okay, I'm not going to get into my whole spiel on dogs right now, but my children are always terrified of dogs. So walking with a kid down the sidewalk, and someone else coming with a dog, and he jumps into the street, and there are cars going in the street. So like the car could hurt you a lot more than the dog could hurt you. But sometimes we don't think like that, and we just react. So that's one of the Yisurim of Lo Sechanim, not for now. Another Yisur of Lo Sechanim is Lo Sitein Lem Chein. Also not a topic for now. Lo Sitein Lem Chein means that you're not supposed to be complimentary toward Nachrim and perhaps of the Chavim or Nachrim, and you know, that's the question: Are you allowed to say Michael Jordan is a really great basketball player? Right now, Baruch Hashem, because we have really great basketball players in Yeshiva University, you could say about Jewish people, but not as great as we thought they were, apparently. So we don't have to say it about Michael Jordan anymore. But that was the shayla. Then the third isra of Lo Sechanim, the one that's relevant to us, is that you're not supposed to give them a matnas chinam, that it's an isra to give a matnas chinam. So the Rishonim already point out that matnas chinam means just that. If it's a matnas chinam, if it's a gift for no reason, but if there's an ongoing relationship and you're expecting something in return, it happens to be this amazing thing. If I give some money to the sanitation workers around this time of year, my garbage pails are always put back where they belong, and the lid is closed on them afterwards. If I don't, they're on my front lawn sideways, right? So I'm not giving because I'm just stopped giving a matnas chinam. I'd rather not have to pick up my garbage pails from my lawn and stand them upright and to deal with whatever mess is left over. So if there's an ongoing relationship, l'chora, it would not be a violation of matnas chinam. Now that's as far as just like the basic greetings and gifts that one would give. What about, let's get into the issue of holiday parties for a little bit. Is there a problem with attending a party together with non-Jews in general, even leaving out the holiday overtones of the party? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ches tells us, Yisrael shebechutz la'aretz ovdei avodas chavim b'taharehein, that Jewish people in Chutz La'aretz, it's a harsh statement, but we're over Avodah Zarah B'Tahara, because we're living in a culture where there's so much Avodah Zarah around us that it's almost unavoidable. That, you know, we're living in a culture where, I got a shaila once from a Talmud who asked, you know, that in his neighborhood, There's a guy who does with all the lights, and he has like a whole winter wonderland on his front lawn, and he has a whole thing, and he makes a huge party for all the children in the neighborhood. He hires Santas, and he gives out gifts to all the kids in the neighborhood. They come and they sit in Santa. So I have a Talmud who goes to Shomer Torah mitzvot, goes to yeshiva, and as an 11th grader, he wanted to know, you know, he needs some help from the kids in the neighborhood to run his winter wonderland. Could I help him out? You know, he wanted me to go buy the kosher snacks so that the kid, he wanted me to buy kosher hot dogs, because he's giving hot dogs out to all the children, and there's so many from kids in the neighborhood, so can I help provide that? So it's so part of the culture that we're always encountering these things. So the Gemara says that Yisrael Shebuchotzar Tzarov De'avodz Chavim B'tar Ketzad, but the Gemara, so that line is famous, but then the next line, Ketzad Ovid Chavim Shasa Mishta Lebeno, and Ovid Chavim makes a wedding for his child. Vizim in Kala Yudah Shabiro, and he invites everybody. You bring your own food, you bring your own pekla, you have the kosher restaurant is delivering it with that tape 1,000 times over where you're going to have to rip through and you're not going to be able, right? It's all there, and then no one opened it up and everything's good, your food is kosher. It's as if you ate miziv chemesim. You're not allowed to participate at a su'uda of mishta b'no. That's what the Gemara says. It's paskind in yoredei asim kuf nun beis. That a non-Jew makes a chupas b'no party. It's asul yisrael echel sham, even if you're bringing ochel mishalo, and even if you bring your own waiter, the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to participate from the time the food and the drinks are being prepared, and after the party for 30 days, it still remains asur to participate in the after party. But the Gemara doesn't indicate why it's aser. Like, what's the problem? So this is a machlokas, seemingly a machlokas rishonim, but it certainly is a machlokas haposkim on the page of Shulchan Aruch. What's the problem? I bring my own kosher food, or they prepare kosher food for me, and I'm participating in a mishteh b'no shel ovid kochavim. So what's the problem? So there are two deos in the poskim. The Taz on the side of the Shulchan Aruch writes that it's a concern for chasnas, that if you participate in a social event, the same reason bishalakum is also the same reason pasakum, and all of the things, stam yenam, all of it, it's a concern for chasnas. And this is going to be another social gathering, another opportunity to break down the barriers, to feel close to them, and that's going to be the problem. That's what the Taz writes. Taz, the Shach, however, in the Kudus HaKesef, not in the actual Shach, but in the Kudus HaKesef, on the margin of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach writes that it's got nothing to do with chasnas. This is about Avodah Zarah, that at a life cycle event, it's very likely that there's some sort of Avodah Zarah going on. He's making it's an Ovid Kochavim that's making a chasana, so it's a religious ceremony, right? If an Ovid Kochavim makes a funeral, so where do they do it? Where do they do weddings? Where do they do funerals? In a church. Why? Because it's a religious ceremony, right? That's why the Chasam Sofer and others were not so pleased about Jews doing weddings in shuls, because they thought it was Chukas HaGoyim, that they, just like they do a wedding in a church, we do a wedding in a shul. Right, that's the discussion in Poskim. Is it better to have a wedding in a conservative shul, or better to have a wedding in an Orthodox shul? On the one hand, to have a wedding in an Orthodox shul is in violation of the Chasam Sofer, but conservative shul is not a shul, so it doesn't have a din of Beis HaKnesses, so then maybe that would be better. On the other hand, it's a conservative shul, so maybe that's worse. Rav Moshe didn't like the idea of doing weddings in a conservative shul, because he thought that, especially in the 1950s in America, if you see a person with a yarmulke going into a conservative shul, the first thought is, there goes another one. That the trend was in such a way that that we were hemorrhaging people to the conservative movement, and communities to the conservative movement, so it would be a terrible, terrible kind of marisa'ayin for people to go into conservative shuls. It's questionable whether that still applies nowadays. Nowadays, if you see someone with a yarmulke, you know, someone frum-looking, someone with a black hat or whatever, tzitzis hanging out, going into a conservative shul, you say, oh, when did that become Orthodox, right? You know, when did the yeshiva buy it? You know, that's normally the reaction. No one thinks for a moment that it's because people are becoming conservative. That's just the trend. That's what Mariv Rabbi Roshachter, I have seen him be Masara Kiddushin in conservative shuls. He didn't think that it's such a problem anymore. Not because he passes against Ramesha, he passes like Ramesha. But the Metzius changed. So the Metzius changed, and therefore doesn't think it's as much of a problem. But anyway, so the Shach writes that it's not based on chasnus. It's because there's going to be some sort of Avodah Zarah that you can get drawn into. And we don't want you to get drawn into Avodah Zarah. Now, big nafkaminas, two significant nafkaminas. The Drishan, Simkufnan Beis, raises a suffix. If what if there's going to be Eva? What if you don't attend? Your lack of attendance will be noted, and it's going to be problematic. It's going to create some sort of barrier. It's going to create some sort of animosity. And he leaves it as a tzarchi. And is Eva enough of a reason to be able to go to the mishta beno, the mishta of the ben shalovit kachavim? Is Eva enough of a reason? He leaves it for as a tzarchi. So the Taz quotes this trisha, and the Taz says, "What? Eva's a reason to be matir? What's the whole reason for the Isser? The whole reason for the Isser is there's a concern of chasnas. There's a concern you're going to get too close. That we need bigger barriers. We need stronger walls. That we can't feel too close. Eva is exactly what I'm looking for. I want Eva," says the Taz. "I'm not trying to avoid Eva. That's the reason they made this Isser." So he says, "I don't know what the Trisha's talking about. I don't know how you could even have a suffix about this." The Shach in the Kudus HaKesef says, "I know what the Drisha's talking about. Because there's nothing to do with building walls and barriers and Mishum Chaslus. It's all about Avodah Zarah. When it comes to things that are not actual Avodah Zarah, but a Chashash, maybe there will be something that's associated with Avodah Zarah, then Eva is a valid Heter. You do have such a thing that Eva is a valid Heter." It's interesting, the Ritva in Avodah Zarah over there says in Daf Ches that it's Asra Filu Bizman Azeh, Velo Chashinan LaEva, Kivin Di Yisura Daraisihi, Okilu Ochel Tekrovus Avodah Zarah. The Ritva understands that it's Nisr Daraisa, so Eva's not going to help anyway. But that's the machlokas between the Shach and the Taz, whether Eva's going to help. Second Nafkamina, in the Sefer Chesel Avram, he discusses, what if it's just someone who's not an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? It's just a non-Jew whose child is getting married, but they have no Shaychus to Avodah Zarah. They don't do any Avodah Zarah. So according to the Taz, it would still be Asr, because there's a concern of Chasus, which is Asr no matter whether the non-Jew is Ovid of Avodah Zarah or not. But according to the Shach, it would be mutter, because there won't be any Avodah Zarah. So really, the question is, going to the party, and participating in the party, l'chora, the heter would be one of Eva, and whether you have such a heter, or the heter would be, they're not over the Avodah Zarah anyway, there's no religious content to the party at all. So in fact, in most offices now, they've pretty much taken away everything. There are certain things about all this political correctness that is to our benefit. A lot of it's not, but there are certain things that is to our benefit, and this is one of them, that you can't have any public religion of anything. So it's everything is sanitized. So everything is just a holiday party. It's not a Christmas party. It's not a New Year's party. It's not because you don't want to insult Kwanzaa or whatever. They don't want to insult anybody. So they just it's a holiday party, or it's an office party, or they'll make it as pariv as possibly can be. So does that help? Does that help? So according to the Taz, it doesn't help. According to the Shach, it helps a great deal. According to the Shach, that would be a great heter. So that's a question. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Shach or the Taz? So typically speaking, when you have a machloka Shach and Taz, at least in Masorah I have from my Rebbeim, is that we generally paskin like the Shach against the Taz. Rav Shechta told us, it's interesting, I hesitate whether I should say this or not, but it's printed. Rav Shechta printed in Nefesh HaRav, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that he said that Rav Soloveitchik never learned Taz. That when he would learn Shulchan Aruch, he would learn Shulchan Aruch Shach Bir Agra. He didn't learn Taz. And he had some sort of Masorah from Volozhin or something that the Taz didn't want to give a haskama to the Shach because the Shach was so gewaldic, he thought it would put him out of business. So as an Onesh, they don't learn Taz. So Rav Shechter said that after he published Nefesh HaRav, one of Rav Shlomo Zalman's children, I think, reached out to Rav Shechter and said that my father read the whole Sefer, cover to cover. He enjoyed it, but there's one piece he wants you to take out. He wants you to take out that Maisa that the Taz didn't want to give that scum, and whatever he said, it's going to, because Rav Shlomo Zalman thought it's going to prevent people from learning Taz. So Rav Shech said he was right. It prevented Rav Soloveitchik from learning Taz, right? Meaning it was true. Rav Soloveitchik didn't learn Taz. He said, I would have taken it. Didn't learn Taz, yeah. So he said that I couldn't take it out because I was ready. By the time I got the message, we were ready in our third printing. There were thousands of copies all over the world. It was too late. But I would have listened to Rav Shlomo Zalman to take it out. But generally speaking, we normally would paskin like the Shach against Taz. But there's another factor. The Shulchan Aruch makes it sound like we're only speaking about a wedding. The Levush says that it applies kigon chasunas beno obito, which implies that it's not just a wedding. A wedding is an example. However, the Levush says you are allowed to attend Mipnei Darkei Shalom. In order to create some sort of positive relationship, as Mipnei Darkei Shalom, it would be mutter. In fact, in Chachmas Adam, which we really often paskin like in Yaradeya, Chachmas Adam is one of the more authoritative svarim. So in Chachmas Adam, he says that it's really only if it's a Suda Shel Simcha. But if it's not a Suda Shel Simcha, it's not really celebrating anything, which it isn't. It's just an opportunity for people in the office to, used to be to pick up the bonus when, you know, not everything was electronic. It used to be, so it used to be to go pick up your bonus and that they, you know, the boss should know who you are to see the face that they should have. So when it's not really celebrating anything, Pashtus is, it's mutter. It's mutter to be there. But once you're there, what are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to drink with them? So this is a much more thorny issue. And by thorny, I mean you can't do it. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Yudalid, Osr Lishtos Sheikhar Shel Akum, that you're not allowed to drink. Not yayin. Yayin, of course, stam yayin. Of course, that's us. Sheikhar shalakum. There's an iser of alcoholic beverages that are made by Ovdei Kochavim. Whoa, wait a second. All of the alcoholic beverages are made. Every beer company, every scotch, every shul will have to go dry, right? Meaning there's maybe not a bad idea, but all of them are made by Ovdei Kochavim. So the Isser of Sheikhar Akum is a little more kal than the Isser of, let's say, Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum applies wherever you are. A guy cooks you food and you bring it home, you're still not allowed to eat it at home. Sheikhar Akum is only in their bodies. It's only, the Isser only applies when you're drinking in their place, in their home. The Ramah is a little more makel than the Mechaber, and he says that alcoholic beverages can be drunk in cases where there is a need. However, the Gra, the Pri Chadash, Chachmas Adam, are machmir like the Mechaber over here. That in a bayis shel Akum, a bayis shel Nachri, you shouldn't have any alcoholic beverages, and this is based, certainly, Mishum. Some of the Achronim discuss, and what about coffee? What about non-alcoholic beverages? Is that included as well? So it's interesting. The Chachmas Adam quotes a Pri Chadash. He writes, "V'av shebizman hazeh noagim lahakel lishtos sheicher shel tevuah bebeis ha'akum. Ve'in limchos v'yadim keish mekilin." There is the Ramah that people are rely on. Roy l'chol bal nefesh la'archik. He said, we certainly should not rely on it. We certainly should be more machmir and not drink in any bias of the chavim to drink any alcoholic beverages. The kol zeh b'sheicher shematzui, aval yayin tapuchim v'shar peiros, apple cider is maybe mutter because they were never gozer. V'chein coffee v'shachlada mutter lishtos beis ha'akum, and coffee is also mutter in a beis ha'akum. That's pri chadash. He puts in brackets pri chadash. Says the Chachmas Adam, ach b'avanaseinu harabim bizman hazeh kama kilkulim ba'im mizeh. He says, you got to have, you have to, Chachamin of Barosho. You have to see what's going on, not just what can happen, but just to see what's going on in front of your face. You have to see. I remember we asked Rav Schachter after, well into the COVID pandemic, how it is. I remember we were at a meeting on the Thursday night before our shul shut down for COVID. We were at a meeting with Gedolei Harabanim. I'm not going to go through all the names. Only one told us to shut down because he said it's a sakana. Only Rav Schachter. Everyone else was saying, no, the tefillah will save you and whatever. He was the only. So I said to him, I don't understand. How did you see what nobody else saw? He said, it was just right in front of our eyes. He said, I think he quoted the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav said Reb Chaim was so smart that he was able to tell you, if you make a decision today, what that's going to mean in 100 years from now. He said, the Brisker Rav said, I at least see what's right in front of me. So a person has to see what's right in front of them also. So over here, the Chachmas Adam is saying, look what's right in front of you. Are we in a good position right now with the way we're interacting with Nachrim, with the way we're interacting? How's the intermarriage rate doing? Rav Shlomo Zalman and Elicha Shlomo is quoted to saying that probably we're not machmir enough on these machalei akum issues, because if the intermarriage rate in America is 70% and all of these dinim are put in place to combat the intermarriage rate, this is probably an area of halacha where we need to be more machmir. So the Chachmas Adam says kamal kilkulim ba'amiza bali deis nus kayadua al kain kol asher bo reyach torah yarchik mizeh mili ikonis l'bateyam lishtos eizem machmir. Mashka Shiyia. Anyone who has a Reach Torah should not go into such places to drink. So absolutely one should not drink Rav Shapter's, even so Machmir thinks you shouldn't drink coffee at a Starbucks. Meaning he thinks that it applies even to non-alcoholic beverages. The question is, what do the Chacham HaSadim mean by that? Meaning, was he going on even the coffee and hot chocolate that the Brich Hadash mentioned, or only the alcoholic beverages? So I remember I was in the OU office, and Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter used to write tshuvas. Rav Belsky, Zichron Levracha, would come on Thursday, and Rav Shechter, Yevad L'Chaim, would come on Fridays. Now no one goes to any offices, but Rav Belsky, they would bring the shaylos to Rav Belsky, he'd write a tshuva, and then Rav Shechter would read Rav Belsky's tshuva and would respond to it, and you know they'd come to some sort of agreement usually. So on this, somehow decisions were made if they didn't agree. On this issue, Rabbi Shechter wrote that you shouldn't drink in a Starbucks, shouldn't drink coffee in a Starbucks. Rabbi Belsky wrote, I've never seen that in any Rishon or Acharon Bichlal. Doesn't exist. Shita doesn't exist. So it's just a question of how you read the Chachmas Adam. Rabbi Shechter was reading the same Chachmas Adam Rabbi Belsky was reading. It's just a question of how you read it. It's interesting, Rabbi Shechter mentioned recently that one time, they both wrote tshuvas, both Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Shechter wrote a tshuva about something, and they disagreed. And Rabbi Belsky made argument A, Rabbi Shechter made argument B. Then 20 years later, they forgot about it, and the same Shaila came up again. And they again both wrote tshuvas. And Rabbi Gersten, who works in the office there, he knows kashrus like everything. He's on top of every inyan. So he lives here. His mom is amazing. So he pointed out to them that what Rav Shechter wrote 20 years later was the same tshuva Rav Belsky wrote 20 years earlier, and what Rav Belsky wrote 20 years later was the same tshuva Rav Shechter wrote 20 years earlier. They were each so convinced by the other one's argument that they incorporated it into their own way of thinking. He said, we still didn't agree, but now we flip to the other side. So Lemaisa, I mean, again, you could ask your local Rav, obviously, what he holds about Starbucks. I think that most people are makel to drink coffee in a Starbucks, but when it comes to drinking at a holiday party, those kinds of things should certainly be discouraged. So we're out of time. We didn't get a chance to discuss regifting wine, which is a fascinating topic in its own right. So there's a 10-minute halacha on that topic. You'll listen when you get a chance. But okay, everyone should have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos. If anyone wants any of my sefer on Shabbos, please feel free. It's in the back. And have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me.